Today, we love you. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you teach us in right paths today. We ask of you for boldness and utterance. We ask of you to make your word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask you not just for information, but for revelation. We ask you for things that reach deep down in the soul of our hearts, that the light of your word would dawn there, and that we would see spiritual truths with the help of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. At the end of this service, we'll be careful, we'll be quick to give you all the praise and all the glory, for you and you alone are worthy, and you alone deserve that praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have an amazing treat for you today. Who we have today as a guest speaker is honestly one of my favorite speakers. If I could listen to anyone who's alive today, I think it would be this individual. Her words, both through the printed page and through spoken live, have always resonated in my heart. And I think today you're just in for an amazing treat. So without further ado, would you join with me in giving a warm Jackson, Mississippi welcome to Reverend Patsy Caminiti.
Before we sit down, just one more time, we've had the most beautiful worship this morning. Our hearts are just full of gratitude for what he's done, and he's done so much. Can we just, for about 10 more seconds, lift up our hearts and our hands, and let's give him a praise that he's worthy of? Hallelujah. Our God, you're so good. You're so faithful. You're so wonderful. And we worship you on this day together. You filled our mouth with praise. You've filled our heart with singing. We give you glory today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, it is fine to be in Jackson, Mississippi. And you turned the temperature down here. It's not what you normally expect at the end of June. But we're just so thankful for the invitation to come, and we love your pastors, and it's just so thankful to come and get to minister the living bread. Praise God. So we're going to look into the Word in just a moment and look at something that he has for us today. The Old Testament, even though Jesus would come many years later, but all the way back from Genesis, the third chapter and the 15th verse, God introduced a picture and a concept and a prophecy about the one who would be to come, Jesus. And then all through the Old Testament, he gave pictures of what he would look like. Different times when I've gone to minister, and as somebody would pick me up at the airport, they came with a picture to be able to match me up with, you know, with the right person, so that the right person would be looking for me. And one time, the lady that came to pick me up at the airport, a man and his wife came, and they had a picture from some years before. And that, my hair was different. It was different color, you know, as girls do. And finally, we were the only group of people at the baggage claim. They were kind of looking at me. I was kind of looking at them. And no one else was there. So just by default, they said, "Are you Patsy?" I said, "Yeah." And then they showed me my picture. And I could see why they waited. But there are some interesting pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament. And through these pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament, the heart of God, the intention of God, was that we would come to identify or recognize some of his nature, some of what he would do. One of those pictures in the Old Testament was actually a serpent on a pole. What an odd picture. But in the time that God said to have that serpent on a pole, he said that if everyone would look at that brazen serpent that had been bitten by venomous snakes, that they would live. So actually that odd picture on a pole became a picture of a way that healing would come. He would take the sickness, he would take the venom and give healing. There were all kinds of glorious pictures. Of course, the lamb that it was slain in the Old Testament was always a picture of him. But this morning we're going to look at a picture from the Old Testament. And when we look at this picture, I really felt like what the Lord had in mind and what his intent was is that through us being acquainted with what he intended to portray and to reveal of himself, he always wants us not to just know about him, he wants to connect with us. Our God is a God to worship, but not just afar off. As your pastor already said, he's given us an invitation. If you draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so he wants connection, he wants interaction. So through this picture in the Old Testament, I believe that what God has in his heart for us to do today is to draw near to him. And so we're going to look into the Bible this morning. If you will go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at the 4th verse. We're going to look at what Paul wrote to this church in Corinth and identified a picture of the Old Testament that they may not have when they saw it in the Old Testament or through their history of what had happened years before, had not identified that this picture was Jesus. In verse 3, it says, all ate of the same spiritual food, and they were talking, he was talking about manna. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life, or I am that manna that came down from heaven. So that was another picture. But in verse 4, it says, and all drank of the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, what he was talking about, we're going to go back to Exodus, if you will, please. If you'll go back to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and we'll see what he was referring to. Because back in this chapter 17 of Exodus, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They'd come into the wilderness, and there they had run out of water, and they were complaining, and they actually came near to wanting to stone Moses. Moses went to the Lord, and God gave him some interesting instruction about what to do. We pick it up here in verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand your rod which you struck the river and go. So he took this rod that the children of Israel had seen him use at the Red Sea, also had been used in the courts of Pharaoh to demonstrate the might of God. And it says here, behold, I will stand before you there on a rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink of it. So years later, Paul is saying that this incident that had happened years and years before when Moses hit a rock with this rod, that water came out of this rock in the wilderness. Moses was able to give water to the people. Well, Paul said then years later, he said that that rock was a picture of Christ. And so what we see from this picture is in a place where there was no supply, there was no water, there was a need, that what God provided through the work of redemption, because in the striking of that rock, it's a picture of what happened when God laid our sins and our iniquities on Jesus in the work of redemption for us. He laid our sicknesses and our diseases upon Jesus. And when that rock was struck, when Jesus was struck, instead of retaliation coming back, instead of revenge coming back, instead of bitterness, instead of cursing coming out of Jesus, what came out of Jesus when he was struck? Life. Every time a blow was put upon him, and every time blood came from his precious body, instead of venom coming out of him, instead of poison coming out of him, instead of hatred coming out of him, life came out of him. And so God had pictured this years and years before in the wilderness, that when that rock would be hit, life would come out. We then, at this time, any time that our life gets thirsty, any time when there is a need in our life, we can have this picture. We can go to a rock, and out of that rock, it's supernatural, but out of that rock, because of what happened years before, when Jesus had that awful sin and sickness put upon him, we can partake of his life. Aren't you thankful that life can come out of Jesus? And every time we come to him, he has words of life. He has words of comfort. His very presence is healing. His very presence is refreshing. And so God has given us a picture of himself here, that he is a rock. We see in Psalms 61, if you'll just go there with me, David on several occasions when he was worshiping God, worshiped him as his rock. You are my rock, my fortress, my God. He calls him his rock. We sing songs today about Jesus being our rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. But it's more than just cliche. The reason he is called a rock, and we just saw one of the reasons, is because of the life that comes out of him. Psalm 61, and we see in this psalm in verse 2, from the ends of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I love this. Sometimes our heart can get overwhelmed. Overwhelmed because of a crisis, something horrible that has happened. Sometimes there is a situation that comes that is just devastating to us, and it overwhelms us. But sometimes life, just the general drone of life that just keeps happening, can over a period of time overwhelm you. Motherhood, for instance, over a period of time can be overwhelming. Sometimes our job, if we were just there a day or two in a week, but sometimes it's the constant demand of life can end up being overwhelming. And in this verse of scripture, David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, either by a crisis or just the demands of constant life, lead me to a rock. Aren't you thankful there's a rock? This verse of scripture said, lead me to a rock. We don't go to, and the Holy Spirit leads us to Him, not just always to a person, and we dump on them our problems, or a family person, dump on them. No, when we cry out to God, God leads us to Him. And sometimes that the counsel that He gives and the blessing that He gives will come through a person, can come through a message. When you come here on Sunday morning and God gives life through your pastor's words. But who we go to is God. When our heart is overwhelmed, we go to Him. And He always has pure water to give. Sometimes if you go to somebody, they could have preservatives or additives in that water. They could have, because of something that happened earlier in their life, they may have some bitterness in that water, bitterness in their advice. Some people may have a spin on a little bit of what they say to you, but if you go to the rock, you're going to get pure water. Crystal clear truth. You can depend on every single time coming to Him and getting exactly the life of God. Now, let's look at another example here. If you'll go to Exodus. Exodus, the 33rd chapter, and we're going to look at another occasion when Jesus is pictured as a rock. Exodus 33, and let's look at verse 21. And it says here, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you will see my back, and my face shall not be seen. And so He did. According to what we see there in verse 19, He made His glory pass by Moses, and Moses was able to see the goodness and the glory of God from that place that he stood on a rock. This rock is also a picture of Christ, that there is a place that we can stand on Him and be able to literally stand in the presence of God. There's no way that a human can stand in the presence of Almighty God, a holy God, a perfect God, and be able to stand on our own merit. We can't stand before God, and we may be able to stand before some people and they think that we're amazing. But in the presence of Almighty and all holy God, there's no way that a human can stand in His presence. But there is a rock that you and I can stand on. And that rock is Christ, where we're not standing on our own merit, on our goodness, on what we've done right, what we haven't done. We are able to stand on His perfection, His righteousness. And when we stand in His righteousness, we're able to stand in the very presence of God. So much so, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, says that we can come even boldly into the presence of God. And we're able to stand in His presence with no guilt, with no condemnation or sense of inferiority when we stand on that rock, when we stand in His righteousness. Aren't you thankful that He has provided His righteousness for us? We are His righteousness. We stand on His righteousness. And because we do, we can stand before Him. Not only do we stand in the presence of God, but on that rock of His righteousness, we're not only able to stand in God's presence, but we're able to stand in the face of our enemy. And we're able to stand in the face of the accuser. How wonderful is that? The children of Israel, way back in Joshua, The book of Joshua had just defeated Jericho. And from that battle, they had been instructed to leave everything in Jericho, not take any of the spoil. But there was one man who did. And when he did, it jeopardized the next battle that they went into in a smaller city. And they weren't able to defeat that smaller city because they had this spoil from Jericho amongst them. And the scripture says there in Joshua, the 7th chapter, says that they weren't able to stand before their enemy because of that sin. And the enemy, our enemy, the devil, knows that guilt and condemnation, shame, makes it so we can't be bold, makes it so we cannot stand before him, makes it so that people aren't able to say no. Sometimes they accept sickness or they accept different bad things to come on their life because they think they deserve it because of what they've done. Well, there's a rock that we can stand on, a rock that is absolutely perfect, that enables us in his righteousness to be bold in the face of our enemy. Are we perfect? Do we deserve all of God's goodness? No, we're not perfect, and neither do we deserve all of God's goodness, but he has given us his goodness, and he's given us a place to stand. Hallelujah. And we can tell our enemy, no, you have to stop, not because I'm perfect, but because I'm standing on one who is. Not only does that rock give us the ability to stand in the presence of God and in the presence of an enemy, but it also gives us the ability to stand in front of people. And with the sense of guilt or condemnation or shame, sometimes people can get self-conscious. You can get intimidated around people, think that you're less than people. I'm telling you today, there is a rock that we can stand on, and it makes it so you can look people in the face. Praise the name of the Lord. You can look your coworkers, your friends, your family, not in arrogance, but absolutely not in intimidation. The reason we can walk boldly in God's presence and in front of the enemy and even among one another and with family and friends and coworkers is because we have a rock to stand on. Amen. I just sense in my heart there's people, if you will be mindful of what you're standing on when you go to work, it gives you a sense of not superiority, but absolutely of confidence. Confidence to do what you're doing. Confidence to be who you are, a child of the living God. Amen. So Jesus, as we're worshiping him and we're saying, you are my rock, what is he? Well, he is that water that comes out of a rock. But not only that, he is that rock that we stand on. Now let's look at another occasion here in Exodus. If you'll go back to Exodus, the 17th chapter. We were there before, but let's go back to this chapter and look at another picture of God revealing himself as a rock. Exodus 17 in verse 12. Now we know what happened in this particular part of the chapter. The Amalekites had come against the children of Israel. And so Moses went up on top of the mountain. And it says here in verse 10, and we'll pick this back up. Let's get 9. I like that. It says, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, Moses was talking, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And that rod again, was a picture of the authority and the dominion of God. It was through that rod that God's power was dispensed in different situations. And so Moses went up to the top of the hill with that rod. And so Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone, they took a rock and put it under him. And look what he did. He sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So in this picture, here is a rock. And in this picture, Moses is not standing on this rock. He's not drinking from this rock. He's sitting on this rock. Again, this is a picture of what we can expect and what we can engage or interact with Jesus. What does this give us a picture? It gives us a picture of rest. It gives us a picture of something solid that supports you so that you can rest in a standing position with that rod and dominion that he was exercising. Over a period of time, he became weary. And sometimes in situations of our life that don't fix in a minute, and anybody know what I'm talking about? Those kind of things that seem to go on and on. And so standing, he became weary. But in this picture, he came and sat on this rock. And we see from the book of Hebrews in both the third and the fourth chapter about faith being a rest, that we come into a place of rest where under us are the promises of God. We're not being forceful. We're not being mighty ourselves, but we're actually resting on the promise of God, and that promise is holding us up. Oh, what a beautiful picture. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which I love that chapter. It's a whole list of what people in the Old Testament did by faith. And much of what we read in that chapter, all these amazing stories from the Old Testament, people did amazing things by faith. They defeated Jericho. They left Egypt and the court of Pharaoh because of faith. Abel gave an offering by faith. And so there are all these actions that people do by faith. But in verse 11 of chapter 11, it says that Sarah received by faith. She received strength. It wasn't a mighty action that she did by faith, but by faith there was a receiving. And so there is, in this place of rest, a receiving of great things from God. Two ways that we engage with God by faith, with dominion and action. But faith is not always and only dominion and action. Faith is also a rest. And so in this picture, we see both. We see Moses with his hands up with that rod of God, but we also see him seated and resting on God. Hallelujah. Another thing that we see from that rock that Moses was sitting on, I love this verse of scripture. It says in Deuteronomy, if you'll just turn there with me, Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. And verse 4, it says, he is a rock. His work is perfect. And all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. He is a rock. Now, what that speaks to us is that what we can rest in is that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can't rest, your soul can't rest if you have the sense that something is going to change out from under you. You can't depend on somebody's word. But the word of God, of what He has ever promised to you, it will not change. Life changes, people changes, seasons change, but the word of God will not change. And it's able to support us, and we're able to rest on that word. Not only will the word of God not change, but God Himself will not change. He is the God that was, He's the God that is, and He is the same that is to come. And not only is He the same, but the Bible says His works are perfect. One translation of this word perfect is complete. And so what we can rest on is the finished, the manifested promise of God. We rest on the end result. So we're not trying, when we have a promise that God has given us, we're not trying to bring it to pass ourselves. I've done that. Have you ever done that? God give us a promise, maybe a promise about somebody, and you go to work on that person, trying to fix them or trying to sort the situation and do something amazing yourself. The promise of God that God gives to us enables us to rest so that God can work for us. When we trust in God, rest in God, it activates the hand of God to do things that your hands can't do. We can't change people. We can't change some things, but the hand of God can. And when we rest on Him, it puts God in motion. He asked me one time, he said, "Who do you want to move in this situation? Do you want to be the person in motion, or do you want me to be the person in motion?" It challenged me because I thought I was being amazing myself. I thought I was changing this person. He said, "I need you to hold still so that I can go to work." Wow. Well, the only way that I could hold still is I had to come to rest on His promise. Sometimes we're fidgety and trying to do things and work things out ourselves because we're in fear that He won't. When we trust Him that He is who He says He is and He can do what He says He can do, He can accomplish what He says He can, it puts us in a place of rest. And this rest itself activates God. Aren't you glad that God is your rock? Not only to drink from Him, drink His words, drink His refreshing, but also He is someone you can stand on, but also He is someone you can rest on. And while you're resting, He is working on your behalf. Bless the name of the Lord. Let's look at another verse of Scripture from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we'll pick up on verse 6. It says, "Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone." Again, a stone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him, who trusts in Him. Look at this next part of this verse. "Will by no means be put to shame." Another translation said, "be disgraced." Oh, folks, I'm telling you, by trusting in Him, by standing, by resting on Him, by coming to Him and drinking from Him, when we come to Him as this cornerstone, this verse of Scripture says that we will not be ashamed. Now, ever how God needs to work things out is how He'll work them out. But when we trust in Him, we have to know that He will work things out so that in the end, we will not be ashamed. will not be disgraced. Sometimes he's got to do some, we get ourselves into a mess sometimes. Anybody do that? But if we will come to him and we will drink from him, stand upon him as that rock, rest upon his promise, he will work things out. He'll work things in us in such a way that will cause you to be glorious in the end. Hallelujah. I believe that God is working things out in people's lives today as we trust him, that gives you a good ending to your story. And your story, and that chapter even of your story, is not over until it is victorious. Until it is a good ending. And so he invites us, come to him. Come to the rock. Come to the rock. And we don't just sing about it. We don't just worship him just as a rock, but come to that rock and let that rock be the building block so that what he began in us, he can bring to completion. One more thing. From Matthew, the 16th chapter, if you remember, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some of them had some different ideas, but Peter finally, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of" what? "The living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven gave you the revelation of who I am." Then not only that, Peter got to hear what Jesus said then about him. Peter first said, "You're Jesus," or "the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "And let me tell you who you are. You're Peter." And that word Peter means rock. Like a rock of Gibraltar, like a significant landmark stone. He said, "You're Peter, you're a rock. And on this rock," not just Peter, "but on this rock of the true revelation of who God is and the true revelation of who you are in Christ, he can build the church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it." This is a wonderful thing, that the identity that God gave to Peter as being a rock. What a wonderful thing that as we come to the living rock, Jesus, to drink from him, to stand upon his righteousness, to sit and to rest upon his promise, the quality of that presence, that rock presence being in our life, will change our character. Instead of being unfaithful and all over the place and out of control in different areas of our life, we become a rock. Hallelujah. His nature becomes our nature. He puts that rock-like characteristic on the inside of us. We think of the time when Jesus spoke this to Peter. Peter was nothing like a rock. He didn't look like a rock. He looked like a wet noodle. And he even acted like somebody not rock-like even after Jesus spoke this. But I'm telling you, what God says about us is true. If we're born of him, we have his life, we have his righteousness, and we have his nature of faithfulness on the inside of us. So when we come and worship him as a rock and we drink from him and we stand upon him and we rest upon his promise, it not only is something we can worship about him, but our lives become glorious because we absolutely can reflect his person and his nature of being a rock. Bless the name of the Lord. So this morning I want to pray for you. And God is giving and announcing an invitation to us this morning to come to him. And so, Father God, I pray for every person in this place. And you're saying, come. Come to me and rest. Come to me and drink. Come to me and take your place, your standing place in me. Come and let me give what no one else can give. Come and let me do what no one else can do. Come and don't stand upon your own goodness and strength. Come, come to the rock. And so, Father God, this morning, I pray that each of us will do exactly that. We'll come to Jesus and continue to come to Jesus, knowing that that rock remains a rock of ages in Jesus' precious name. And we give you thanks. Amen. Say this after me as the pastor's coming. Say this: Jesus is my rock. I'm standing on that rock. Amen. God bless you.